Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, February the 15th, 2024. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
We're here in Tupelo, and in Kansas City is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Been thinking about you guys in Kansas City.
You know, the last 24 hours, it's first just shock, right? You don't think this is going to happen. And yesterday dawned bright and beautiful. It was as close to a perfect day in February as you can get in Kansas City. 60 plus degrees, blue skies, and big celebration. And then
downtown, right?
Downtown, yeah. At Union Station, the heart of Kansas City, about 9 miles from where we live, and just an iconic location.
Right.
And there's tens of thousands of people clogging the streets to cheer on the Chiefs, and then suddenly the shooting starts and the world turns upside down.
Where did the somebody said the shooting took place in the parking garage? Was that, do you know anything about that, or where, or was it just out in the wide open, or where was it?
Well, evidently, yes.
I say wide open, garage. It's crowded, but you know what,
right,
I'm saying.
Right. And there were 800 police officers guarding the,
right,
guarding the route. There were cameras everywhere. And at least as of right now, the police have not released the names of the suspects that they have in custody. We don't know if they're charged. We don't know anything yet about motive.
Chris, do you or Fred know if there's a press conference set today?
I just read the latest Associated Press story on this, and Ray's exactly right. We don't know the names of the three people arrested, and we don't know the motivation for the shooting, what happened. We need to step back a little bit. There were people with weapons who were arrested. But you can have a weapon on you and not be involved with this at all. So we have to be very careful at this point. You may have the police somewhere in the next few days coming out saying, you know, John Smith here, who we arrested, was just at the parade. He has a concealed permit. He was allowed to have a weapon on him. So we need to be careful about it. But what we do know for sure, shots being fired. We had one dear lady. She's actually a disc jockey there in Kansas City, a mom of two little kids. She died as a result of a gunshot wound. You have another 22 people who were injured, and at least 8 of those 22 are kids. They were dispersed across a number of hospitals. The kids were told, according to a spokesman this morning, and maybe Chris has some audio on this, the kids are going to survive.
Yeah.
But I think there are several of the adults who were hit by these bullets who are listed in critical condition.
Yeah. We do have that audio Fred just mentioned there. I'm going to call for this in a moment, Brent. You're going to hear a lady named Lisa Augustine with the Children's Hospital of Kansas City. Clip one.
The ages of the pediatric patients we treated were 6 to 15.
How were the children that you saw? What was their, you know, I guess, disposition like after going through something?
Fear. The one word I would just use to describe what we saw and how they felt when they came to us was fear.
Of the children who were shot, how many of them suffered serious and critical injuries?
All of them will recover, and I wouldn't say that any of them are critical at this point.
Now, I saw that we were talking about at our show meeting this morning. All of us were talking about the video that a lot of people have seen now. And the video was a distant cell phone shot, it looks like, of somebody, a man, tackling another man. That's what it appeared to be. And then the caption is, they're, they, the people in the public are detaining the suspect. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. That gentleman was interviewed. He and his wife and his kids were at this event to celebrate the Chiefs' win. And at some point, apparently he saw a person who he believed was a shooter, and he tackled him. And then his wife noticed a weapon, and she went over and moved the weapon away from that individual as these other individuals were then piling on.
And they're waiting on the police to get there.
Yeah, waiting on the police, and she removed the weapon. She said, I think she put it by a wall, and someone else came and stood beside her.
We have that clip.
We don't have that clip, but I have posted a link to a Guardian article on the tackle, and then there's also a link to the video of the husband and wife speaking to Fox News this morning after that tackle.
Okay, well, to your point, Fred, the police obviously want to be careful with, because once you put a person's picture out there and accuse mm-hmm. them, the anger among the public at them and their family is going to be unleashed, right?
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're accurate.
Yes.
We had that in 96 after the Olympic bombing. That one guy that was blamed.
Oh, yeah.
And then come to find out he wasn't the guy.
We Americans are quick to rush to judgment, Ray.
well, we are.
Yeah.
And they will get to the bottom of this because we're living in an age where if you go to any downtown area, you're going to be under video surveillance from all angles all the time. They will get to the bottom of this.
Right.
If you wonder why there were so many children, 8 out of the 22,
I think
you said, Fred? Mm. A lot of the school systems, including the one here in Johnson County, they canceled school yesterday so the kids could go to the big downtown. I mean, it's a great celebration.
Sure.
So that's why there were kids everywhere.
Yeah. You know, and the usual suspects come out with their we need stricter gun laws mm-hmm. and blaming guns for this. First of all, we don't know yet the criminals who they are, and we don't know for sure. The police have cited them, and we don't know what kind of weaponry they were using or how they got them.
Right.
And I'll bet you a dime to a dollar, or a dollar to a dime. I don't know what that saying is, but that these probably have rap sheets. It's just so tiresome, Fred, to hear this repeated mantra of the left when these things happen, that it's guns.
Yes.
Guns don't kill people.
No.
People pull the trigger.
Yes.
And they make their plans.
Yes.
And we have gun laws already. We have laws against murder. Did that stop them yesterday? Did the guys go, if it's guys who kill these people, did they go, you know what, we can't do this. Murder's against the law. Mm-hmm. You think a gun law or gun laws stop these people from these bad people?
That's right.
Gangs have guns all day, every day. They don't care about the laws. Mm-hmm. The only people that care about the laws are law-abiding citizens.
Yes.
And so when you pass stricter and more gun control laws, you're only punishing the people who obey laws in the first place.
That's right.
How? Fred, that's 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
To me, why do these lefties just keep on with take the guns away? Or more stricter gun laws.
And to your point, and I just, for our listeners, as you listen to the fallout of this story, wait for the word gun violence. That's what you're going to hear. It was gun violence. No, it was people violence. It's people who shoot the guns. Huh. It is people with something wrong in their minds and their hearts that take guns and they kill people. Unfortunately, within hours, the president of the United States, you know what he went to? This is another example of gun violence. Why we need more gun laws, et cetera, et cetera. That is just the mantra of the left. Anytime there are these incidents, he even made mention, President Joe Biden last night, saying this is the anniversary, I think, of the Parkside, was it?
Parkland, the Florida case. Yeah.
He says this is the anniversary. So they go to this. It is their agenda to bring even more gun restrictions into being. unless
the shooter is somehow considered a right-wing person.
Mm.
If the shooter, like, let's take the shooter in Buffalo, who was I don't know about right-wing, but he was a racist.
Without a doubt.
Mm. When was that, a year and a half ago?
I'll look it up.
He went to the grocery store in a black community, and he murdered all those people. You remember that, Ray?
Yeah.
And there was a manifesto, and I think he was just an outright racist, right?
That was in 2022.
Okay, that was his motivation.
Yes.
When that happened, I didn't hear people going, "We got to stop gun violence." No, they went, "This guy was a racist. We've got to stop racism."
Yes.
You know, when police officers get into confrontations with people in the public and they have to fire their weapon, and unfortunately sometimes people die, do these same lefties go, "You know, we've got to stop gun violence"? No, they go, "Police need to quit shooting their weapons."
Yes.
They don't blame the gun. They blame the cop.
Mm-hmm.
You see how this works?
Yes.
So it's only when it doesn't fit their left-wing narrative do they go to the guns.
Yes.
Because they want to avoid talking about things like fatherlessness in homes,
mm-hmm.
which is impacting greatly the African-American community.
Yes.
With young boys don't have dads in their homes, so they join gangs. Mm-hmm. They get into trouble with guns. And why don't we talk about that? That's one of the root causes of the gun violence in America.
Right. Yeah.
To your point there, and saying why aren't we talking about that? Lawrence B. Jones of Fox News has been going to various parts of the country, Memphis, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., to highlight the crime problems that all of those progressive-run cities have. And he's been interviewing pastors and business owners, all kinds of people in these cities, to talk about the crime, the lack of a response from politicians. And this morning, he had some audio from a pastor there by the name of P.M. Smith in Washington, D.C., who told Lawrence B. Jones there are three things that have to happen to solve crime in Washington, D.C., and all of these things have to do with the family. Clip 8.
Things necessary for young folk to grow up, maybe mature, especially men, authority that they must be accountable to, boundaries that they dare not cross, and consequences if you cross those boundaries. That is lacking in our families, African-American families, and it's lacking in the society and the culture we're in today. It begins in the family. Authority is established in the life of children in the family. Consequences are imposed on the children in the family. The family is the first institution created by God. It's foundational. When there's a fracture in the family, African-American family, there's a fracture in the neighborhood, in the community, and in the country.
Well,
what an excellent testimony.
Yeah.
He is an elderly African-American pastor. I think he's been in the Baltimore area now for decades. You know what? The left would not want him to come in and testify as to what the real problem is because of what he just said.
Right, exactly. So we'll see what happens today. And if something breaks during this program, we will bring it to you. In terms of the mm-hmm. police in Kansas City, it was in the Missouri side, right?
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, if they have a press conference or release any new information, we'll let you know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, we live in a free and open society. And unless you're going to confiscate all the guns in America, which is, you talk about a ship that sailed, that's not going to happen ever.
No.
That's not going to happen because we have the Second Amendment and people have a right to defend themselves. And that's American as apple pie. And people have died to defend that freedom and other rights that we have. And so that's just not going to happen. These folks on the left, though, virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed a few of them commenting yesterday, we need how many more times is this? Here's the things they say, right? They say, how many times is this going to happen before we enact common sense gun laws? They don't answer the question of why didn't these people obey the gun laws that we already have. They never these folks never want to say, okay, the guy had a rap sheet a mile long. Why wasn't he in jail?
Right.
The guys who committed these crimes. So, I mean.
These are fair questions. And we don't know the answer specifically yet to what happened here yesterday in Kansas City. But it's a fair question because we have a plethora of gun laws. They have on the Missouri side. They have it here on the Kansas side. So why didn't whoever pulled the trigger, because we don't know that it was those three guys that are in custody, but whoever did it, why didn't they follow the laws that were already on the books?
There you go.
Yeah,
that question needs to be answered before you start calling for new gun laws. Mm-hmm. New gun laws.
I'm just wondering when we're going to get to an era where liberals enact common sense things in other areas. Like, this is the only one they want common sense. Like, we're all borrowing on the backs of unborn children and their children to pay for things in other countries.
Right.
And so when are we going to get common sense spending reform?
Well, I think it was Michael Savage who once said, liberalism is a mental disease.
That's right.
Or a mental disorder. And it is.
Yeah. It's destructive.
It's destructive. And they also never want to blame the criminals. They only want to blame the guns or something else, some other factor. They don't want to blame the people that are actually that's why they don't lock them up.
Right.
Put them away.
In my 22, it'll be 22 years this fall that I've been working in broadcasting. In 22 years, and I know you guys have been in the business longer than I have, people will find anything to kill or hurt somebody. So you can take away a gun.
A knife.
It'll be a knife, a rock, a car, a bomb, a plane, whatever.
A fist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A dirty look.
Yeah.
Something.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's the next story, Chris?
Well, speaking of dangers and threats here, this could very well have been the lead, and it got a lot of coverage yesterday on radio, television, and in print, social media. I've got a couple of sound bites. It was made known in the last couple of days, if it's going back that far, that Russia apparently has some sort of device in space that could be used to knock out U.S. military communications and those of other countries. And, of course, a lot of people are concerned about this, given that Russia wants to take over Ukraine and, to hear some politicians, the rest of the world. I've got a couple of audio bites here. Let's begin with this one. It's Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida. He was on Washington Watch yesterday, and he said that people don't need to get in their bunker tonight, but they do need to be made aware of the Russian threat that Congressman Michael Turner of Ohio made public, and he wants Biden to do something about all this. Clip 6.
This is a threat of global proportions. And so that's essentially what the chairman announced today. I will also share with you his frustration. He has sent multiple classified letters to the administration asking them to come meet with us, inform us of their strategy to deal with this, and they haven't done so. Fortunately, now it looks like we're going to have what's called a Gang of Eight meeting, the leadership of both the House, the Senate, and the Intelligence Committees tomorrow. And I hope out of that, we see that the administration is not only taking this seriously, but putting strategies in place to deal with it.
Now, who are we hearing from
there? That was Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida. And what stood out to me when I heard that was, let's think of all the things that Biden has been doing, or Kamala Harris, or Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, all these people that would have an influence and be able to, you know, return a letter to somebody to address their concerns.
Wait, okay, let me make sure I understand what's going on here. Gentleman that we just heard from. Mm-hmm. Is a congressman from Florida.
Correct.
Republican, I guess. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Michael Waltz.
Okay, and he's being interviewed about this national security threat that was announced yesterday by...
Michael Turner of Ohio, who is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
Okay, but there was also a press conference by National Security Agency or the Defense Department. Who was that? Yesterday.
That was the, it's not John Kirby, it's Jake Sullivan.
Jake Sullivan,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, were they talking about the same thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Turner made it public that they had been briefed and made aware of the situation.
And Sullivan wasn't happy.
With him making that public?
That's right.
Well, Sullivan issued this broad general, there is a national security threat without offering any details, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which, I know that's a balancing act. You don't want to. But basically what Ray is being understood here is that Russia has the capabilities now of taking out U.S. satellites. Is that what's basically going on here?
Yes.
Anyway,
through what nuclear weapons, laser device, or we don't really know the answer to the question, I suppose. Right.
That's right.
Right.
I've seen nuclear use in some news stories, but not in everything.
I was thinking it would have been something in outer space that go, but anyway, that's what I was thinking. Something that would, kind of, to me though, and this is just layman response, like anybody else, I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? Why does the public need to know about this?
Because it would knock out communications that our military depends on.
Okay.
Would knock out communication that some of it that we depend on.
If Russia
was to take that down, it would cause chaos. Mm-hmm. Communication chaos.
It wouldn't be EMP level, but it would be catastrophic to the U.S. way of life.
Well, and have worldwide ramifications.
Yeah, because people look to us and depend on us for money and whatever.
Are they saying, of course, again, I'm asking questions I don't know if we have the answers to, but are they saying that Russia has this capability now?
Well, I think what Turner is pointing out is that they believe, he is saying intelligence has information that Russia perhaps has this capability. What Turner is trying to do is to get the administration to come forward and say, what are you doing about this?
Sure.
Okay.
That's where we are with this.
Do we have time for one more clip that relates to all this, Brent? Okay. In addition to Congressman Michael Waltz that we just heard from, Washington Watch brought on retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who said he got concerned about Biden's military and intelligence awareness last year when that Chinese spy balloon went over the U.S. Clip 7.
When we saw that satellite go over America a few months ago.
The balloon. Right.
Yeah, a few months ago. That opened my eyes after 36 years in this business. That opened my eyes because if you don't know what that is, then you've got something to be afraid of.
All right, we live in a dangerous world. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really do. And the technology is advancing at a rate. And we hear about artificial intelligence, and Elon Musk has warned about the dangers that exist there. So, all right, let's take a break right here. Unless one of you guys want to solve this problem.
No, I think big concern is...
Ray, you got an answer?
We don't have the A-team in the White House right now.
Yeah. What'd you say, Fred?
We don't have the A-team in the White House right now. That's what scares me most.
Oh, I got you. Oh, absolutely.
I pity the fool.
Huh? Well, you've got President Biden, who's... We all know his problems. Then you've got Vice President Harris, who's... She's not up to the task. We all know that. And then you've got Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, who's in and out of the hospital. Telling you, the guys who run this country, at least internationally, are Secretary of State, Blinken, and what's the national security guy's name again? The Navy guy?
Oh, John Kirby.
John Kirby. Those two guys are running the country right now, in my opinion. We'll be back momentarily.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues.
Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this live radio show we do daily here Monday through Friday. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward and Ray Pritchard, and we thank you for listening, as we always do, to AFR. One of the shows, one of our popular shows we have on the weekend, is Understanding the Times, and the host is Jan Markell, and Jan joins us Thursdays when we can work it out between her schedule and ours, and she joins us right now from the Twin Cities there in Minnesota. Good morning, Jan.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Weather report?
Weather report. We haven't had winter other than 1 week. We've had mild 30s and 40s and even lower 50s this winter. It's we're cheering for global warming here.
Yeah, well, we're standing with you.
Yeah, that's sister. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are. Fred, you wanted to talk to...
Yes.
You had a subject for our guest?
Yes, Jan. The American Jewish Committee did a survey and put out the results just in the last couple of days. And basically it says this, nearly two-thirds of American Jews feel less secure, not in the Middle East, in the U.S. Yeah. than they did a year ago. And, of course, this was done around the time of October 7th. In fact, I think the survey may have been done just before. But the bottom line is, if we did not know of the degree of anti-Semitism in this country, we sure saw it on display right after October 7th, right here in our own country.
And, you know, Fred, what puzzles me so much is this was all spurred on by the disastrous, I call it a catastrophe, that happened in southern Israel back on October 7th. You know, the barbarians invaded southern Israel and committed unspeakable atrocities. And you would think that the world, and particularly the Western world, particularly America, would have leaped to Israel's side. And, of course, many did. But at the same time, the greatest anti-Semitism since the Holocaust was unleashed at that time. I say that's an upside-down world, because all of these people that were and continue to demonstrate on behalf of Hamas and so-called State of Palestine, et cetera, they're cheering for the wrong side, is my only point. You know, I never thought I'd see the day, though we know this is going to happen in the tribulation, but we're not there yet.
But, Jan, isn't this a result of the anti-Semitism that has been part of the indoctrination in our university system for yeah. years now? Because within 48 hours, you had university kids on the streets, some more supporting Hamas in this country. We're talking about Ivy League schools. So it's been out there for some time.
Yeah, and exactly. And the thing is that this just unleashed it. Again, I mean, the October 7th unleashed it. But why on earth the upside down reaction? Why not a sympathy in our institutions? Sympathy for Israel, not sympathy for the devil, those that perpetrated the attack. I mean, it's just such a terrible upside down world. So obviously this was brewing for a long time, and then it was unleashed at that time. I mean, we can ask why. I think there are some obvious reasons. We have a president who's very anti-Israel, not suggesting he's anti-Semitic, just anti-Israel and his policy. And we have some churches that are teaching that the church is now Israel. I'm not saying they're anti-Semitic either, but their theology is troubling because they've replaced Israel with the church, and therefore a lot of Christians don't even see that what we're talking about right now is all that important.
Yeah. You're listening to today's issues. Ray, any comments on this?
Well, Jan, I got a question for you, because you raised a distinction here I want to ask you about, because I think it's really, really important. You said our president is anti-Israel, but he's not anti-Semitic. Seems to me there's a pretty fine line there between those two categories. What's the difference? How can you be anti-Israel but not anti-Semitic. Seems like they're pretty close together to me.
Yeah, they are, and I would agree it's a fine line, but I think that, you know, if you're anti-Semitic, you just plain hate the Jewish people. I don't think Mr. Biden does, but I think he sees, like so many liberals do, he sees Israel and her policies as a great inconvenience because the left wants a Palestinian state, which would be the final solution to the Jewish people. It would be their end. Not that God will allow it, but it would be a terrible mistake. The left is, you know, pro-Palestinian. The left is pro-Islam. I mean, let's just be blunt. They're pro-Islam. Even some leftist Jews are more pro-Arab than they are pro-Israel, and that's a whole other program. But there is a fine line. So I'm not suggesting any of these people inherently dislike Jews. I think they inherently dislike the inconvenience that Israel is to the world, because they favor the Arab world, they favor the Islamic world, they want to be friends with the Muslim world. If we'll just befriend the Muslims, we can have peace, because then they will love us. I hate to tell you, they never will.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. So do you see this anti-Semitism, which is a hatred for the Jews, this is the same ideology that Hitler pushed.
Absolutely.
Which led to the concentration camp, 6 million Jews dead. Go ahead. I hear you're ready to respond. Go ahead.
I often ask, are we in 1938 again? I really do. I've asked that 100 times, and I know we're not literally, of course, but the sentiment is getting to be the same globally, not in a few, not just in the Middle East, around the world.
Yeah, it's spiritual. The devil hates the Jews.
It is, yes.
That, if you want to get down to the Bible explaining what's going on here, the devil hates the Jews and hates Christians too. Hates Christians too and hates Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But the hatred for the Jews goes back, you know, thousands of years. And so if you don't believe in spiritual things, folks, this is not going to mean anything to you, but. But there are things that happen in the world, you go, that's inexplicable outside of some kind of spiritual dynamic going on here. Now, I will say this, just politically, there are a lot of people, and I don't agree with this at all, but they hate the Jews, but they hide behind, or they're going to tell you it's because the Jews in Israel took land from the Palestinians who were there first. That's what they're going to say to you. And we need that to be rectified before we can deal with the Jews, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But that's why they say river to the sea. A lot of these people, river to the sea. What does that mean? That means take back Israel completely for the Palestinian people and push the Jews into the sea.
That is right. But let's remember, it's God-given land. So the Jews didn't steal God-given land. Jesus was not born in occupied territory. It's all God-given. They simply have taken over. In a miraculous way, they were scattered to the four corners of the earth. They didn't even have a Hebrew language until they came back and recreated it. It's the miracle of the 20th century, maybe the miracle of all time.
No, absolutely right. And what's the word I'm looking for when they say people are native to the place? You know what is the word?
Indigenous.
Yes. Yeah. The Jews are the real indigenous people.
Exactly. Exactly right.
To that region of the world. If you want, you know, the left's always talking about the indigenous people wherever most of the time they're talking about in America and how, you know, wrong it was for the Europeans.
Like Columbus,
how wrong it was for the Europeans to come over and take over the indigenous people's land, even though the indigenous people killed each other all the time over land.
Yeah.
All the Native American tribes, they killed each other over land all day, every day. It's only when the white people came over here that it became a problem from Europe. So anyway, all right, well, we will. What's coming up on your show this weekend, Jan?
Oh, we're going to talk about a cult that many evangelicals are accused of being founding members of. I'll leave it at that. And I think a lot of your listeners are a part of this cult. It's a great cult. Don't get me wrong. We all want to be a part of this cult, but we're called cultists. We're really not. We'll talk about it Saturday and Sunday.
So find out what Jan means when she says you are a part of a, quote, great cult.
That's a good tease.
Yeah, coming
that's
up good.
This week.
That's good, Jan.
What time's the show, Fred?
The show is on right here on American Family Radio at 1 p.m. Central on Saturday and 12 noon on Sunday. And if you missed it, you can go to Jan's website, Understanding the Times, and you can listen right there.
Understanding the Times with Jan Markell coming up this weekend as it is every weekend. All right, thank you, Jan.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right,
okay.
Appreciate
goodbye.
It.
Bye-bye.
Jan Markell joining us from the sunny Twin Cities there.
She said
they've had a mild winter.
Yeah, well, Ray has been talking about
it. It's been the same way here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I think in Chicago, too. It's been unusually warm. We haven't had we had one Arctic blast about a month ago, but that's it.
Uh-huh. That's all we need, quite frankly.
That's more.
That's right.
That's
We're
more
done.
Than I want.
Well, we can take one Arctic blast a year without complaining too much, but after that, we need to move back to the 60s.
Yes.
50s and 60s. So what is
it? I agree.
Yeah. I mean, warm weather's good for the heart, man. What is it?
It's also good for the fuel bill.
Mm-hmm. Duly noted.
You save a lot of money when it's warmer. You don't have to have that furnace running 24 hours a day.
Let's see what we got today here where we live. 68.
I'll take it.
Yep.
The high is 68, sunshine.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What was your, do you have a Bible reading today, Ray, already?
Indeed. We're in the book of Leviticus. You know, that's the... That's the book that's the Bible reading killer right there. So many great.
You read about five verses and you go, I need to shut this book and go have lunch.
They're killing it. There's dead animals and blood everywhere.
Ugh.
Everywhere.
And, wow, it's barbecue city there, huh?
It's a great book. It's a great book.
Yeah.
And Christians ought to read it and think about it. But it's been fun. It's been fun going through Leviticus because it's really, if you understand, it's about the holiness of God. How a holy God can come into fellowship with people like us
without blemish appears a lot.
Without blemish,
in the King James.
That's right.
Yes,
in the book of Leviticus.
Right. So it's a great book. Yeah.
Yeah, I always approach it like I think I can. A matter of fact, Leviticus begins today for the Bible reading plan that I have. So power through it, people.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to ask you too, Ray, and Fred, comment on this, and Chris, you feel free to as well. Lent.
Right. Started yesterday.
Yesterday, I saw a few people out, mostly Catholics and I guess Episcopalians.
Some Protestants do.
Mm-hmm. A few Protestants have the ash cross on their forehead, Ray.
Right.
What's that represent?
Well, the whole point of Lent, and it's an ancient tradition. Understand, you're not going to find Lent per se in the New Testament. You're not going to find the 40 days. You're not going to find the ashes and so on. That's a tradition that arose several centuries after the beginning of the Christian movement. So we're not saying it goes back to the apostles. It's not a command. But the whole idea is, as you're moving your way up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, that you take some time to think about the suffering of Christ on the cross and his great resurrection. And it's meant to be a time of reflection, the whole idea of ashes on the forehead, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It's a time when you're supposed to remind yourself that this world is not the only world. The other world, the unseen world, that's the real world. It's to be a time of repentance and prayer and getting things right with God. Now, I have to go a step further. In later Catholic tradition, you have the thing about what are you going to give up for Lent? And you could eat this, but you could not eat that, right? That's not particularly found in the New Testament. Or let me just say flatly, it's not found like that in the New Testament at all. I'm not even saying that's wrong. I'm saying that's part of church tradition. But the idea, Tim, I do want to say the idea of reflecting on who Jesus is and thinking about where you stand in your walk with him, repentance will never go out of style. It's right. always appropriate to get right with God.
It's good for not
just the unsaved. It's good for Christians, too.
What are you writing down, Chris?
Repentance will never go out of style.
I grew up in a mainly Roman Catholic area, and Ray has just alluded to it. That the big thing was, what are you giving up for Lent? And you know what? I never heard anybody say, I'm giving up hamburgers. I did hear people say, I'm giving up broccoli.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
You did hear that?
or something that you know they didn't like in the to begin with.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes. In okay. other words, they weren't going to suffer
much.
Too much through you, those 40 days.
Did you hear what Biden said he's giving up?
No.
He said he was joking about this. But I'll post the link here in a second. Biden jokes he's going to give up the press for Lent.
In his case, probably a good idea.
That is funny if he came up with that on his own.
That's right.
Huh?
He's probably wise to extend Lent for the next, 8 months.
That's right.
Yesterday, Allison, my wife, she was out in public, and she said there was a lady who had, this was at the lady who had the ash on her forehead. The ash mm-hmm. cross mm-hmm. For, you know, to recognize Lent. And a gentleman who had no clue what this was about came up to her, an older fella, and said, hey, you rubbed your newspaper all over your forehead there. Just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah.
Yes. So newspaper ink had accidentally got on her forehead.
Yeah.
So
I thought about something like that yesterday because Martha McCollum, one of the Fox News hosts, mm-hmm. she was on the set and she had.
Yeah.
On the set?
Yeah. She
Brett
was during her show.
Too.
She had that on her forehead. And I just thought, you know, somebody who doesn't know what that's all about, they'd be looking at her yesterday.
So your makeup person didn't do you right there.
Yeah. Why isn't somebody at Fox telling her she's got a black
mark
on her
forehead? That
happened
to Brett Baer a couple of years ago. He did his show that night, and people were, like, tweeting him and posting on Facebook, like, what is on your face?
Yeah. That's right.
Wipe your forehead.
Yeah. Hey, when is Easter?
March the 31st.
Okay.
Check me on that.
No, you're right. Fast. You're right. March the 31st. Okay. That's for, you know, for us here. Mm-hmm. That's for the, what would you call it, the West?
Then there's Orthodox. The Orthodox.
They have a different one, maybe?
They're right. Usually a little bit later.
But isn't Easter relative to the lunar?
Yes.
Schedule.
Try to explain this on the radio.
well, we've got 10 minutes.
Somebody give it a shot here. Ray, you know anything more than I just said?
Listen, if first of all, I don't do those computations, right? I'm trying to give you time here to look up the
because Easter moves around. Christmas doesn't move around. Easter moves around based on.
I have one possible explanation.
Is it the solstice? The spring? Go ahead.
This is coming from the Royal Museum's Greenwich. It says the simple standard definition of Easter is that it is the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox. If the full moon falls on a Sunday, then Easter is the next Sunday.
That sounds like an algebra problem.
Wow.
That train is never getting there. It doesn't
Does
matter what time it left.
Does anybody understand what
Oh, thank you, Chris, for that information.
Yeah. It was an exhaustive search. Well, no,
I was tracking with you. I'm following you. But anyway.
Usually, I mean, most years, it's sometime in April. But it can be even earlier than March 31st. It can be as early as what? The 21st or 22nd? It's unusual.
Yeah. Okay, So here we go. What is Mardi Gras?
Oh, Fat Tuesday.
That's the day of indulgence before Ash Wednesday. In other words, you get it all out before you give something.
So that took place
days.
2 days ago.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes,
that's
Fat
right.
Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, and now, right now, you're supposed to be living right
mm-hmm. for
today,
40 days.
Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm. And confessing the stuff you did leading up to Ash Wednesday. Yeah. You know.
Somehow, I don't think this is the way it's supposed to go. Yeah. But anyway,
I had a professor and I went to a secular school. I had a professor, a journalism professor that told us early on she did not like us to use the phrase Easter Sunday in our drafts or articles because, to quote her, everybody knows Easter's on a Sunday, therefore Easter Sunday is redundant. And I've always remembered that because you'll see some calendars that mark the Monday after Easter or Resurrection Sunday as, quote, Easter Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know whatever happened to her, but I've always remembered that from class, and that's been 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, I'll give you a free day of vacation as your boss if you can. No, don't look.
Okay. Listen,
quit looking.
Okay.
I want you to repeat your equation for how we come up with Easter. If you can do that without looking at your notes, then I'll give you a free day of vacation. Go, Chris.
It is something involving the full moon and the spring equinox. If the full moon falls on spring equinox, Easter or Resurrection Sunday is the Sunday after.
Well, the problem is I don't know whether you're right or wrong because I don't know, but I think he's on track there, isn't he, guys?
That was a pretty good punt.
Yeah.
I think you
I
did
heard the word equinox in there. That's
an equinox in there. That's worth half a day.
I did go to a university where, and I'm not kidding, one in three meteorologists on TV today are graduates of the Mississippi State University.
Is that right?
Here we go.
Okay.
Let me go get my cowbell.
You got to be good at something.
Here we go.
By golly, may not beat Alabama football, but we'll take them on in meteorology.
We'll beat.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to build.
We got the equinox covered.
Yes,
we're going to tell you when to get in your safe place.
So, all right, Fred, you're technically, you're not technically, you are Chris's immediate supervisor.
That is correct.
So, I think that we need to give him a half a day.
Okay. All right, half a day.
Can't do it Monday, though.
But he has to use it before the winter solstice.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
It's coming up.
So Chris, half day off.
Half a day off.
This coming
just
Saturday.
Just for getting that description probably 80% correct there.
Okay.
I think you started off this. What did you say? You did use use something about or something like that.
It has to do with the moon, the full moon, right, and the spring equinox. Uh-huh. And depending on when the spring equinox, if it falls on a Sunday, Easter's on the next one.
Yeah, then you got werewolves.
Oh, mm-hmm. Baby.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so we know what Fat Tuesday is.
Mm-hmm.
And now Ash Wednesday. And today starts the day everybody who participated in those events should be living right and abstaining from their broccoli. Mm. Is that what you said?
And don't hold your breath on that one.
Oh, okay. You mean broccoli or good?
No.
Other consumptions?
Starting to be good today.
Oh, starting to be good.
Yes.
Right.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, real quickly, our spiritual heritage tours this year are – we're about halfway full. So we've got June and September. We're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So much early American history to be explored there. We're going to see those places. And then we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. We'll see all the sites you've read about and seen. And then we'll go to George Washington's Mount Vernon estate and home on Saturday. So if you want to go with us from Sunday to Sunday, we will take care of you the whole week with our private motor coach, our bus. We're going to get, and Stephen McDowell will be with us. Stephen's a historian. So, you know, it's going to be a fabulous trip. We've taken nearly 5,000 people over these 20 plus years on these tours. So we have experience in this area, so we'd love to have you join us if that's what you want to do. The website for all the information is spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com with an S. Again, we go in June, we go in September. They're the best month weather-wise to visit those places.
Have you by chance ever had somebody that visited that area years ago and they want to come back to kind of... That happened to me. Yeah, I was in D.C. about 30 years ago, and I've not been – well, I've gone back for work once, but, yeah, I've not been on tours in a long time.
Well, the thing about going on one of our tours is we see as much as you possibly can. We don't waste time, and we have a bus, and we go here, there, and the other. You're not sitting there with a map going, where should we go now, honey?
Now, it's not a vacation in the sense of – sitting around.
No.
You
oh, no.
Early
Your tongue wagging.
All day long.
We're happy if we, at the end of the day, we see our folks get off the bus and they're saying, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
That makes us feel
there's
like we've accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
No, it's we have fun. We folks who join us from around the country, patriots, they love the Lord. It's good fellowship. It's just a wonderful time seeing all those places. We got about 1 minute left, mm-hmm. Chris. Tell us about our news service.
Yes, our news service is called American Family News, or AFN. And the cool thing about it is it's radio and print news. So for people that like to get their news audibly, we do have the radio service. That's what you hear at the top of every hour on American Family radio stations and about 100 or so non-AFR stations that now also air our news. If you like to get your news via print, we can also connect you with that at AFN.net. You'll see much of what you hear on the radio, on the website, but a whole lot more. So do check us out at AFN.
So we have our own news agency, folks, and Fred Jackson is the director. Chris is on the team there with several of the Steve Wojardal also. Mm-hmm. And so every day they work hard to provide accurate and useful news that comes to you via the radio. And also, Fred, they can get an email alert, right?
That's right. Go to AFN.net, right-hand corner, sign up. Just put your email in there, and we'll start sending you a daily Monday through Friday summary.
Monday through Friday, middle of the afternoon, you'll get the news summary for the day from our own American Family Radio News, if you'll go to
AFN.net.
AFN.net. We'll be back in 5 minutes with Steve Paisley Jordahl.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.